Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Loving one's enemies is one of the most challenging things that Jesus told his followers to do. When we repay evil with evil, we are losing the battle to evil. Only with the help of God's Spirit can we prevent the world from pulling us down to its level. We must overcome evil with good. Please open your Bible to Romans chapter 12, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his discussion of this chapter.
President Ronald Reagan had this saying on his desk in the Oval Office, quote, "There is no limit to how far you can go if you don't care who gets the credit." Value one another. We need to learn to value one another and prefer one another. Not slothful in business. Just be fervent in spirit. The word fervent means hot, boiling, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. I really believe that a lazy or a slothful believer is a bad witness for Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about Apollos. He was fervent in spirit. That means he was zealous. That means he was enthusiastic. And I wrote down, he would have made a Super Bowl fan blush after his team scored a touchdown. Fervent in spirit. A pure and simple love for Christ will cause us to be diligent, will cause us to be fervent in spirit. The story is told of a communist who said to a Christian acquaintance, quote, listen to this, "If I believe what you believe, I would crawl over a field of broken glass to make sure everyone heard the gospel." You heard the story of they had a prayer meeting, I think it was in communist Russia, and then the KGB, a guy came in dressed like KGB. He came in, goes, "All right, there's a Christian prayer meeting?" Yeah, he goes, "All right, if you want to leave, go, and I won't arrest you." 3/4 of the people left. Then the guy puts his rifle down. He says, "Okay, I'm a believer. Now let's have a prayer meeting." Yeah. Now is the time of year people will say, "Happy Easter." Happy Easter. Yeah, we hear it all the time. And the thought that comes to me say, "Yes, amen. Jesus is risen." And I thought, if I didn't say that, or if I feel like the Lord is, you can say it like a Pharisee. "Yeah, Jesus is risen." No. But if I didn't say that, would it be because I was ashamed or I didn't believe it? All right. Rejoicing in hope. Yes. Now, you and I know that it's impossible to rejoice in all circumstances. But we can always rejoice in the Lord. I love Habakkuk 3:17-18. Says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive oil shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." I love those verses. And that's Habakkuk in the Old Testament looking for the Messiah. Wow. Rejoicing in hope. In Hebrews 6, verse 19, Christ is called the hope and anchor of our souls. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 15, verse 13, the God of hope. When it says rejoice in hope, it means rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in our God. Patient in tribulation. Oh, my. Patience. Patience in tribulation. It's so vital for us to remind ourselves that when things get tough or the wind of circumstances is blowing against us and it's not in our sails, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Continuing instant in prayer. Always praying. Praying for everything. Praying about everything. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. In other words, put your money where your mouth is. 1 John 3:16-18, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And then it talks about being given to hospitality. What does it mean to be given? It doesn't mean, okay, I'll give in to hospitality. I'll give in. Being given to hospitality. You have to remember that at the time that Paul wrote Romans, Christians were being persecuted. Christians were driven from places of safety. And in the first century, they didn't have Holiday Inns, didn't have Marriotts and all of that. When Paul came to Corinth, he couldn't check in to the airport Marriott. Hospitality. What word is in that word hospitality? Hospital. That's really what kingdom hospitality is all about. It's being able to minister to those who are hurting within our homes. One of the ways... And I'm only saying this because God gives you the grace. I can't tell you how many people lived with my wife and I. Families, brother-in-law. My son, when he went to Bible college out on the West Coast, and there would be guys who would be coming back here, and we'd house them. Guy was pretty down and out. He said, hey, Pastor Ray, could I sleep on your couch for a couple weeks? Yeah, 6 months later, he's still there. But that was a way for our kids to learn. We could have said, here, just read. It says, being given to hospitality. Mm-hmm. Learning how to. And you guys have probably, many people do this. This is just what you do. You have people that have come. You take them in. You care for them. You love them. We've had people going through divorces. And we've had either the husband or the wife staying with us. And it's been a learning lesson for our children. Not easy. Not easy. Given to hospitality. So wonderful when I go overseas. Oh, boy, they are really given to hospitality. They just take you in. I'll never forget going to one little village, and we were at an all-day meeting, and then I met this little boy. He had to be 10 years old, and we're getting ready to leave, and we had spent a lot of time with him, and he had a goat with him, a goat. That would be like a Mercedes-Benz or something. And he said to the interpreter, he wanted to give that to me to take home as a gift from him. This kid, the clothes I had on my back was worth more money than everything that he had. He wanted, they were given to hospitality. The Bible says, use hospitality to one another without grudging. And I believe that one of the best ways to develop relationship with others in the body of Christ is by getting out of our comfort zones. Just learning how to take people in and just have fellowship with them. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Should we go on to the next verse? Again, I apologize for not being able to give credit to whoever said this, but it has been said that the characters of men are more clearly seen by their treatment of enemies than of their friends. Jesus said, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So the problem is not what? The problem is not understanding. The problem is not interpretation. The problem is what? Application. Remember we talked about earlier renewing our mind? Lean not on your own understanding. Our sole duty is just to obey the Lord and leave God. the results to him. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. That's pretty. The first part is usually a lot easier than the second part. Usually when you're weeping with them that weep, usually means that something really, really tragic has happened. But the Bible says because we're a body, when one member suffers, all the members suffer. When one part of my body is not feeling well, my whole body's in bed. And so the Bible tells us to rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. You know, a little bit of kindness towards one another goes a long way, right? Be of the same mind, one towards another. Mind not high things. In other words, do not aspire to seek after some power or something. Don't mind high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits or in your own opinion. In other words, we have to guard against pride or arrogance. The word condescend does not mean that we look around us and see what poor souls here today can I lower myself to talk to or pray with. It's the opposite of that. It just means that our we are to be clothed with the compassion of Christ, that we just want to minister to them. It's pretty simple. Don't mind high things. Nothing destroys the move of God's Spirit in a person's life or in a church than spiritual pride. Nothing swells the minds of men so much as when they have a high notion of their own wisdom. A proud person's mind works like this. Why don't you act like me? Why don't you pray like me? Why don't you do things the way I think that they should be done? You know, the easiest place to occupy in the body of Christ is the section reserved for critics, where you just pick apart every person, every area of ministry. If I were the pastor, if I were the youth leader, if I were the worship leader, boys, would things be different around here? Would things be different around here? Yeah, you're right. They would be a lot different. We should be glad that you're not. Pride stunts spiritual growth. Pride stunts fellowship with others. Pride is never wrong. Pride is devilish. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. So we all have to fight that. It's in our flesh. Now, in verses 17 through 21, loving towards our enemies, recompense to no man evil for evil. Think of this. Think this through. To repay evil with evil is immediately losing the battle to evil. When you repay evil with evil, you're losing the battle to evil. The only way to defeat evil is by doing good to the one who has done you harm. You overcome evil, how? With good. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one render evil to any evil. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil. Provide for things honest in the sight of all men. That's pretty basic. Just walking in the light with one another. Being honest with one another. Honest and ethical. All of our dealings within the body of Christ. If it be possible. If it be possible, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. Please note here that the Holy Spirit tells us that it is not always possible for us to live peaceably with all men. You can try, but not everybody is easy to live in peace with. That's another way of saying to you and me this morning that we are not in heaven yet. Okay? Bible says, follow peace with all men. As much as in lies within me, I should seek to live at peace with all men. Matthew Henry said this, it is impossible that the soldiers of Christ should have perpetual peace with the world whose prince is Satan. And yet we need to make every effort to go the extra mile to live in peace with all men for the Lord's sake. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And Paul now quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 25. Revenge not yourselves. Leave that to God. The word, the words give place here means that when I get to that point of wanting to have bazooka target practice on this person or that person, that is when I need to drop to my knees and commit the outcome to the Lord and say, Lord, you have to do this. We have to remember that God is our defender. God is our protector. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God does not in vain take upon himself the office of executing vengeance. So the question, what happens when we try to take vengeance into our own hands? Does that ever help? Not been my experience that it's helped. Either we're too harsh or too soft. We strike too fast. We strike too late. We say the wrong thing. You just make matters worse. The renewed mind says, okay, Lord, I'm committing this to you. I'm trying to live in peace. I'm trying to be agreeable. This is a contrary situation. I'm going to seek to walk in love. I certainly am going to pray that God would guard my heart against that person. I'm going to seek to bless them if I can, do good to them if I can. But there's just a tension here. There's a wall here. And I leave them to you. I leave them to you. Therefore, okay, if your enemy hunger, nuke them. Feed him. Notice, if your enemy hunger, feed him. Does he say avoid him? If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, repentance just might take place if you trust me and do these things. This is another one of those walk by faith verses, isn't it? It's remarkable what Scripture says about how we are to treat our enemies as Christians. Proverbs 24, 17 and 18 says this, saints. Rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when they stumble, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. Wow. Instead of, yeah, they got what they deserve. You reap what you sow. Mm-mm-mm. So I am to yield any and all vengeance unto the Lord, and now I am to feed my enemy, and in doing that, it heaps coals of fire on their head. What does that mean? Oh, yeah, that some people said, that means, Pastor, they're just going to get really ticked off. That's not what that means. Heaping coals of fire on their head doesn't mean, they're going to be burning against you. Heaping coals of fire on a person's head in those days was actually a very benevolent thing. In biblical times, you know, people carried these containers of charcoal or wood on their heads, and sometimes they'd have to walk far to get live coals to start their fire at home. Heaping live coals in someone's head wasn't a curse, but a favor. So your enemy, dead or winter. And it's cold. They can't afford RG&E. And you're going, oh, good. Good. Those nasty, you know. And you're rejoicing when you see icicles coming off their nose. No, you know what it is? You find out how much they owe on their RG&E bill. And you anonymously pay it as unto the Lord and just leave it. Now, that's easier said than done, isn't it? Overcoming evil with good. You know, when you think of an enemy, you and I are prone to think about Islamic or Hindu fundamentalists or somebody who opposed Jesus Christ. Now, they are our enemies for sure, okay? I'm not diminishing that. But how many of us are faced with that kind of enemy normally? The enemy can be somebody very, very close to you. An enemy can be somebody that has betrayed you, somebody that has slandered you. It is someone that has hurt you or made life rough for you. What do you do? And you're dealing with these strong feelings of resentment and bitterness. What do you do? The Lord says you overcome evil with good. In fact, when I taught this at our church, I said, you know, here's a list of suggestions of what hot coals can be. Send them a card. Send them flowers. Send them a text. Buy them a gift card to go out for lunch or dinner. Now, they may throw it in your face, but at least you've done what you've wanted to. And make sure you do it with the right attitude. Here. Go out and have dinner, you grouch. You know, we have to be sure that even when we love our enemies and bless those who persecute us, we do it in love. So, the passage here says, God will take vengeance and he will reward our obedience regardless of the response of the enemy. Sometimes when you overcome, when you, like in verse 21, it says, overcome evil with good. Sometimes you get it thrown in your face. Sometimes it irritates people more and more. You know, the word overcome is actually a military word that means to overpower. Be not overcome, be not overpowered, but overpower evil with good. I love that. Overpower evil with good. Good. Love is stronger than hate. Forgiveness is better than, is stronger than unforgiveness. You know, you can choose to take matters into your own hands. You may win the battle. You may even get the last word or strike the last blow. But in the end, when you try to get evil, evil destroys you because the other person keeps on winning. You know, some of the scariest people that I've ever met with in 36 years are people that are bitter. Or people that just have this thing in their heart towards other people and enemies. They're scary. They are scary people. How does that individual that you won't forgive, that you want to get even with, how does that person keep on winning? He or she still control your life as long as you want to take revenge. Every time you hear their name, read their name, see a post on Facebook, overcome evil with good. Don't let revenge or bitterness destroy you. Remember, the flesh always seeks to even the score. Remember this, saints. The score for you and me was even on Calvary. Overcome evil with good.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.